Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I'm going to be sharing with you just in a few minutes of a teaching that I listened to and heard from Mike Bickle that he gave this past Sunday, and we're going to walk through that. I think it's really important to give that to you tonight and to help equip you and challenge you and help you understand some of this climate that we're living in as far as people and their anger and not living in the place of love, and I want to address some of that tonight. But before I do that, I want to talk about love. And I want to talk about the love of God, and I want to talk about how much He loves me and how much He loves you. And I wanted to just testify. I remember I was just thinking when he was playing all those songs about love, and I was thinking about teaching in Westville Correctional Center for about 5 years, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and just making sure that I did a six-week course with all those men, and they memorized that chapter about love. And I just remember how important it was when love would break through in the midst of their hurt and their pain, and the love of Jesus would apprehend them in that moment. And I remember the looks on their faces when they would be enlightened by the love of God. And I remember how God touched me with His love. And I want to tell you this, that God's love is 100% for you right now in this moment. It doesn't matter if you're successful, if you went through a failure. It doesn't matter. His love is the same. It will always be the same. And you need to know that. And I was thinking, you know, sometimes when you get up here, you just want to share your heart. You know, you want to testify about what the Lord's done in your life. And, you know, you teach the word, but sometimes those little moments that those suddenlies that God shows up and He just overwhelms you and you begin to weep or you begin to shout or whatever you may do. And this week I was driving in to the house of prayer, and there was a song that I used to sing. I used to have a job for Yellowstone National Park, and I used to run an old Western cookout, but I also took men and women for 3-hour backpacking trails with horses back through the mountains. And when we would get to this one echo place that it was really, I knew my voice would sound pretty good because there had this beautiful echo. And I would sing this song, and it was an old Allman Brothers song, and the words were, good old Sunday morning, bells are ringing everywhere. See, going to Carolina won't be long till I'll be there. Lord, I'm going to have to sing it, I think. Good old Sunday morning, bells are ringing everywhere. Going to Carolina won't be long till I'll be there. Good mind, blue sky helps my sunny day. Lord, you know it makes me high when you turn your love my way. You turn your love my way. And then this line. Don't fly, Mr. Bluebird, I'm just walking down the road. The early morning sunshine tells me all I need to know. And the other day I was driving into the house of prayer, and I was singing, that song. And it was one of the few days in Michiana that we had the sun, and the sun was coming up, and I sang, don't fly, Mr. Bluebird, I'm just walking down the road. The early morning sunshine tells me everything that I need to know. And at that moment, He hung that sun for us, for you and me. It tells me everything that I need to know because He's in absolute divine control. It tells me everything that I need to know about His love and who He is. And it was in that moment I just busted out weeping because I was thinking about, man, how did I end up in Yellowstone National Park? Well, how I ended up there, I was in a club band for years and playing on the road. And I met a food and beverage guy, and he said, Bobby D, if you ever want a job, I'm going to be the head of food and beverage in Yellowstone National Park. And I was running hard from Jesus, man. I was running as hard as I could from Him because I had gotten saved and gotten filled with the Spirit. And then I went through some rough times, and I started backsliding and running. And sure enough, I found the Lord, and I came back to the Lord in a powerful way. That's a long story. It's an awesome story. But when I came back to the Lord, I called Him. I said, man, and this guy was a Christian. That's why he got out of the clubs. And I said, man, I just came back to Jesus, and I know you're working at Yellowstone. I said, how about a job? He says, I got the perfect job for you. And I was like, he goes, you like to cook, don't you? I go, yeah, oh, yeah. He says, you can run the old Western cookout at Roosevelt Lodge, but you have to drive a chuck wagon. Do you know anything about horses? I said, yeah, I know stuff about horses. So I went out there, and when I went out there, I had a cabin, and from my cabin, 15 minutes up a trail was a waterfall with this huge boulder that I would just go, I just would go there, and I would just praise God, and his love would just overflow on me. It's in that, so that's how God sets you up because of his love. He'll set things up in your life. I could have never done that. But he loved me so much that he pulled me into a place. I went from a Saturday night in a nightclub, get my drums packed up, from Saturday night, and by Tuesday, I was in Yellowstone National Park in a cabin, okay? And you got to understand, I was plugged in, and when you went to that cabin, there was no radio reception, radio, nothing. There was no TV, nothing. All we had was electricity, and we had a wood-burning stove, and we had a bathhouse that all the employees would shower in. And so he took me from being in that environment, boom, to like nowhere. And when I looked across at the cabin across from me, there was a car they had already gotten there, and on the back of it was this huge bumper sticker about Jesus. And I was like, okay, who are they? Because, you know, I know why I was here. And sure enough, this couple, I'll never forget, she had red, just as dark red hair as you can get. She had red hair, and her name was Mary, and his name was Paul. And they were a couple, and they ministered to me, and they discipled me that whole summer at Yellowstone. And many people came to know Jesus. Just like that, boom, because that's his love. And so tonight, you know, we all have journeys. We all have stories. We all have testimonies. And tonight, I'm going to share some things in the teaching, but I just want you to know what I wrote down was that God's love continually, even to this day, that was back in my 20s. I'm 61 years old. That was back in my 20s. And to this day, I'm blown away by the radical love of Jesus for me. And the radical love that Jesus has for others. I'm blown away by it because it never fails. And listen to this. God does not do shame, okay? And God does not do condemnation. God does love. That's who he is. And so the enemy will do shame and the enemy will do condemnation, but God does not do that. He loves on you, and it goes on and on and on. The truth, it doesn't matter this, that if you're succeeding in something or if you're failing in something, God still loves you 100%. And you need to know that. A lot of people don't understand that. And our society has gotten to a place where if somebody's succeeding, then that's, you know, there's value in that, okay, to be successful. You know, and almost a lot of Christians are beginning to kind of feel that same way that, you know, well, if you're successful in ministry, then, you know, things are really happening. Guess what? God loves you in the small, in the minute. He loves you whether you're successful or if you're failing. He loves you 100%, and you can't turn it away. I want you to know that tonight, and I want you to get that tonight, because I don't want you to condemn yourself 100% both ways. His love never fails. And when we live in a culture that only loves what it values, we're attracted to that more than we're attracted to what maybe God is saying. And sometimes we try to shove God's values into how the world sees things. And I know that you're seeing that in the world today. I'm seeing that in the Christians. I'm seeing some movement that is more worldly than it is about the kingdom culture and the love of God and what Jesus calls us to be and what Jesus calls us to do. Our culture is attracted to success, and many times our culture just despises failures. And God says, I'll take that failure and make them something in me. And so if you've failed, you know, it's not over. It's not over at all. Somehow Christians have allowed that to sneak into them, and that's how they view things. And I think I just shared that. But he has never looked at you as a failure. He's never looked at you as a failure, and I want you to know that tonight. He hasn't, and he won't. He will never be fed up with you, you know, because sometimes, man, what I've done, God's got to be fed up with me. No, he's not. He will never be fed up with you. He loves you. And I cannot tell you enough how much he loves you. And you know what? Guys, don't get distracted. Just listen. Listen to how much God loves you, okay? Because I want to pour into every one of you tonight. I think one of the worst things that can happen to a Christian, whether they've been in the faith for a long time, is they get to a place and they get to a meeting, and maybe they've been to that meeting, like I've been doing this since 1997, the meeting place, and you can think like, well, you know, yeah, another meeting place. You know, God can do it suddenly, like he pulled on me on the bypass the other day coming into the prayer room, just in that moment. I want that. I desire that. I want the Holy Spirit to have its way within me. He knows you, and he is 100% committed to love you. Now, this love, agape love, how many have heard of agape love? It's a strong, strong word for love, because they had to even make that word because there was not a word that could really define the love of God. You can't compare the love of God. I can go through all the different words that mean love, but you can't, like, okay, I love football. Well, because I love football, that love has nothing to do with the love that I love God and how he loves me, right? It's a different kind of love. And that love is absolutely, the point I'm making is absolutely, completely unconditional. The word agape was made to describe the love of God, unconditional love. He won't give up on you. Agape is absolute, unconditional love for whoever it is. He loves you. He loves you. There's nothing that can stop him from loving you. No matter what is happening in your life, even right now, he loves you. There's nothing you're going to do more, and you've heard it before, that's going to cause him to love you more. But agape love is a deliberate choice. God has made a deliberate choice to love you. And when you beat up on yourself, when you condemn yourself, when you start, you know, letting the enemy speak to you instead of the love of God, you know, it's a bad road. It's a bad place. And God wants to bring you, and he wants his love to set you free, because he deliberately chose you. You need to know that. He deliberately chose me. Can you say that? He deliberately chose me. Let's do it again. He deliberately chose me by his love. That's what he's done for you. He knows everything about you, and he still is 100% committed to you. The last thing I want to share with this is that agape love is deliberate choice, a deliberate choice. And listen to this phrase, how it worked out. A deliberate choice of will to love someone because of who you are, not because of who they are. Let me say that again. Agape love is a deliberate choice of will to love someone because of who you are in that love of God, not because of who they are. So if somebody doesn't measure up to you, if somebody isn't agreeing with you, the love of God is a deliberate choice for you to love them no matter what. Love them no matter what. I'm going to say that again. Agape love is a deliberate choice of will to love someone because of who you are in that love, not because of who they are. I'm going to love you conditionally because of who you are. Now I'm going to love you because you measure up. No, that's not it. Husbands and wives, if there's a few in here, get that. You love deliberately, unconditionally. That's the love of God. When the Holy Spirit and the power of truth is being released within you, the Spirit of truth will lead you into that truth and lead you into that divine place of love. And that's what God's after. So I wanted to share a little bit about agape love tonight. And this is my story. This is my song. Got me singing now. I'll start singing. What was the other songs? See, Blue Sky, Allman Brothers, there was another one. And I'd always sing these songs that had a little bit to do with God, you know what I mean? I'd always throw them in there, you know, and anyway, it was good. Do you have your notes? Everybody got notes? Okay. Let me tell you why I wanted to make sure that you got these notes in your hand. And after listening to this message, many times I've got different streams that flow into me from different ministers and different people, walks of faith, and I try to get just a real good balanced diet from different folks that I know really feed into me. And Mike Bickle is one of those people. He's been one of those guys for a long, long time. I would suggest that you would go online to ihop.kc and that you would watch this video of him teaching this along with the notes, because it's so powerful. And so I've watched it twice. And I just wanted to share some of it with you. Beautified by humility in an age of anger. And I felt like this was a real opportunity to equip you and to bring some sense into all of us about the things that are taking place right now. And one of the things that's happening is this is a training ground right now. We're seeing anger happen all over the earth like we've never seen before. We're seeing people being at odds with each other like we've never seen before. The culture is crazy. Some of the things that I have seen on Facebook and other places, it is just amazing the things, how we're going at each other. But God has a plan and he has a purpose for us as the body of Christ to respond a certain way from the word of God and not according to the culture of the world or the things that are happening around us. And it's so easy for Christians to flow into that. And I'm gonna say this because I believe this. There are great men and women of God in both parties, and they both think that they're right on where they're standing in the political process. There are. And some of you have a hard time with that. And we have been going back and forth, and our mouths have gotten to a place, I think, of huge danger by the anger and the things that we express about other people. And God doesn't want that in your family. He doesn't want that in you as an individual, and he definitely doesn't want that in the body of Christ. And when I walk through some of this scripture with you, it's probably going to tilt your thinking a little bit and hopefully open up your heart to say, wow, this is how you walk in the favor of God. This is how you walk in the fullness of God. And some of those scriptures, we'll talk about them. But I'm going to go through those scriptures just in a minute. But I wanted you to look at the bigger picture and addressing really the anger that is arising within the nation, our nation. And it's not only in our nation. It's rising all over the world and some of the other nations against our nation. And so that is just kind of hugely going forth. And it has a lot to do with just angry speech. There are things that are being said right now, on the television and through all kinds of media and outlets and social media that are being said that I would have never thought would have ever been said by anyone, anytime, any place, anywhere, as far as in that arena. Now, they may say that sometimes in a brawl in a bar or somewhere else, but I never thought some of the rhetoric that I would hear that I'm hearing right now. And a lot of it is coming out of Christians. A lot of it is. And so God wants to give you a check tonight. He wants to reel you in a little bit and say, I want you to see how Jesus feels about this. I want you to see what the Word of God says about this. I've told my family that pride cometh before the fall, and though I may agree with certain policies and certain things, I fully realize that when we speak things that put other people down, it cannot become part of the norm of our society. It cannot become the norm for our society that this is how we talk now. This is how we do, and this is how we just kind of go at each other. It has not meant to be that way. Are you guys with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? And so we can't embrace that. Don't allow it to be the new norm in your life. Right now, also, there's a lot of anxiety that is instilled in people because of the things that are being said. We've seen people that have said things that, oh my gosh, it's like from a place of rage. And it seems to be escalating. And it's just like people are so undone and so angry right now on both sides of the left and the right. They're just angry. And we're allowing it to get the best of us. I believe that. I believe we can stand for truth. But this hateful speech is really beginning to arise. And it's arising in Republicans, Democrats. It's on both sides. It is, I think, out of control. And I don't think it's the kingdom of God. I don't think it's the way that Jesus would want us to be and to act, and I've got proof in that to show you in the scripture. And Mike Bickle does an amazing job of bringing that forward. Before I walk through the notes, I'm just going to say a few other things. That Jesus wants us to practice humility. He wants us to practice humility. We can't get caught up in this divisional aspect of things. We can stand for what's right, but Jesus is always going to want us to practice humility. And that's really key. Bring your speech into the obedience with God. God wants us to sometimes hold our words and not be so easy to just say such things about people. That is not the way of the Lord. So sometimes he wants us to hold our words. And I believe that what is happening right now in society, and this makes complete sense to me, and it agrees with my spirit, and it agrees with some of the conversation I had. I believe that God is setting a pace right now. A pace. And guess what that pace is? It's a pace of growth. It's a pace of growth from the standpoint of all this stuff that you hear. How will you respond right now with all the things that you're hearing in social media and about our nation? How will you respond in the spirit? God's giving you a pace. And guess what the pace is for? It's a pace for training. He's trying to train you so that you can respond with the right spirit and the right heart in situations. What we see happening now in our nation and the anger, and it's only going to escalate, it is not going to just all of a sudden stop because it's already opened up, like the old saying, a can of worms. And now I believe it's going to escalate. But our position is to respond in humility and according to the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and to speak life into situations and not death into situations, and not anger into situations, and not judgment into situations. Did God give you grace? Yes. God gave you grace, and you have to give grace to other people. Yes. You have to. Yes. Now, moms and dads, everybody. Maybe you can speak nice things in the presence of the people at church or the friends and family that you have. But what about when you're home? Does all of a sudden your speech go carnal? Come on. Does your speech go carnal and you start just like laying into people? I know that I have. And I've asked God to forgive me of it. I've said some things I shouldn't have said about situations. And all the time I was being tugged at because God wanted me to respond according to his word and according to his kingdom and not the culture of our society. We need to respond to it, and we need to respond to it now because this is our chance to grow. And the reason I said God set a pace is that you grow right now with what's going on. You respond right now in the right spirit so that as you grow in that, when it increases and hatred begins to increase and the love for many begins to grow cold, you can still respond in the right spirit. The right spirit. And this is what he's asking of us. So this is the training ground that lies before us. It's an opportunity for us to really respond in genuine humility and not allow our carnal ways to just, and our ways to, and our talk to have its way. This is a training ground, and the training ground is at home. Anger is rising on Facebook, conversations. People responding in rage, and again, I say it over and over, it's not a kingdom culture. It's the culture of the society. Now, get this line, or maybe pin this line. You can write this down. It'd be good for you to hold on to this one. Biblical convictions must have priority over political opinions. Biblical convictions must have priority over political opinions. Our conviction about what God says. Do we stand for truth? Absolutely. Do we sometimes have a righteous anger in the right cases? It's definitely justifiable. But anger, just everyday anger, is not acceptable in the word of the Lord. Now, look at your notes, and we're going to go through this. This is a little different for a Tuesday night. But it's really a teaching time. And you're not going to really get the fullness of this unless we would really take time to break this whole thing down. But I think you're going to get the gist of it as we look at it. Beautified by humility in the age of anger. God's glorious, look at number one, God's glorious plan for you to beautify your life is what it was meant to say. God delights in imparting his beauty to all who embrace humility. I don't think we understand how meekness and humility is so important in our lives. Meekness beautifies our lives in this age and in the age to come. God views humble and gentle responses as beautiful, 1 Peter 3:4. And if you look at Psalm 149, verse 4, and this is David saying this, he says, "The Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble." He will beautify the humble. In 1 Peter 3:4, it says, "The hidden person of the heart with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle spirit," which could be humility or meekness. And then look at B. The only virtue that Jesus declared about himself was that he was what? He was meek. He was humble. How much is that quality in your life? How much have you died to that? How much have I died to that? We think that we always have to push to make our way. And I don't believe that. I've got too much experience under my belt to see that sometimes you can just be resting and waiting and God just moves mountains on your behalf instead of trying to make your way happen. God loves you so much. That's why I started with agape. He loves you 100%, and he's wanting to help you and help me to get set in a pace of being humble and responding rightly in the spirit to this age that we're living in and not get caught up in a deluge of anger and rage. Does that make sense? Do you see what he's saying? Now, if you keep looking at some of these scriptures, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." basically rest in my yoke. And then it says for me, for I am gentle and, of course, meek and humble and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So what is that saying? It's saying this. Society is very anxious right now. People are very anxious right now. There's a lot of fear. But he's saying, if you take my yoke and you rest in me, he says, you're going to find rest for your souls when you allow me, when you humble yourself before me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What that says to me is that I have to have my confidence, not in any one of you, but I have to have my confidence in Jesus. And then I can be what Jesus wants me to be for my brothers and my sisters. Does that make sense? Because if I get my confidence in anybody, I mean, I want to encourage people. That's biblical. And, you know, I want to cheerlead people and say, yeah, go for it. But if I find my confidence in anything, if I take on any other yoke but the yoke of Christ, then I'm not going to live in the place of rest. I'm going to live in the place of being fearful and anxious. And I'm going to teach my children that. And God wants us to rest and be confident in him. Look at C. Jesus is the most beautiful person. His government is forever established on meekness. That's Matthew 5:5. He will establish truth, meekness, and righteousness across the earth when he returns. Drop down. I could go, well, look at D there. I'll go to that one. This is a prophetic word that Mike Bickle, he said he's only had like three like these where it was a verbal, you know, he heard the Lord speak to him. And this one, he kind of jumped out of bed and he spoke this out loud. Meekness is the magnet that attracts God's favor. When you know the scripture, that is true. Meekness is the magnet that attracts God's favor, So if you want to be puffed up and have your way in every situation, you want to be bold and stubborn, then you're going to have a rough life. That's all I can tell you. You're going to have some real bad things. And we're all stubborn to some degree. But you're going to have a rough way to go. But if you want to humble yourself before the Lord and be teachable and let him teach you, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be awesome. We got to be ready. We got to respond with life and speak life in this age. And he says he gives more grace, therefore he says God gives grace to the humble. That's James 4:6. Now look at E. I like E. It says the Lord will raise up a victorious end-time church in context to a great social hostility. That's found in Matthew 24:10 if you study that out. It says a generation could be 100 years when the Lord returns, and we believe that we're somewhat in that time. The Lord will raise up a victorious end-time church in context to a great social hostility. And it's going to be through humility. It's going to be through love. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The bride of Christ will be prepared in mature love and humility when Jesus returns. I love that. Go to the second page quickly, and let's look at some of the scripture that talks about speech, because I think we can have a lot to learn. James gives us one of the most practical teachings on humility in the scripture. This starts in our families, marriage, with children, then extends to the slow to speak and slow to anger and enemies. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not achieve the righteousness of God. The anger of a man or woman does not achieve the righteousness of God. The measure of our anger is the measure of our unperceived ambition. A gentle answer, you've heard this probably before, a gentle answer turns away wrath, anger, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. See, if we respond with anger, then our relationships will be injured, causing us unnecessary pain. How we respond when we are mistreated or when we disagree is foundational to our spiritual life. Galatians 5:15, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. The word is pretty clear. Well, this is something maybe I was hoping for something different tonight. No, this is something we all need. We need to understand this. We need to understand what's happening to our nation. That's what this is about, equipping you, training you, setting a pace so that you can begin to respond in an opposite spirit in these situations. And so that you can begin to turn things when people are just vicious and like vipers, you know, going after stuff. I know we've all been stirred up. So, you know, God's trying to help us. Walking in humility impacts the quality of one's marriage and family, culture, as well as how their children will approach conflict and carry their hearts in their future. That's powerful. And here it is. As peacemakers, we are to seek to bring peace and not to stoke the flames of fiery arguments. We must put biblical conviction above our political opinions and arguments. That was what I wanted you to write down. Now you got it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God. As believers, we must preserve the bond of peace in the spirit of unity. We must be able to disagree with a spirit of grace that respects and values the dignity of people who have different views. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, very familiar. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with all lowliness, there it is again, and gentleness, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. G, Peter especially exhorted the young people to submit to their spiritual leaders, not because their leaders were always wiser or deserved more honor, but because youth are in the strategic season of life when the wet cement dries, and they are forming either humility or pride that will affect their future family and destiny. We must trust God's method and timing to exalt us. That is very powerful. We trust him. Lean not onto your own understanding, but trust the Lord. Acknowledge him and trust him in all your ways. I love that. That is so good. Younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 6. And then the last one, the yoke of humility includes restraint in one's speech and self-promotion, etc. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him keep silent because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Lamentations, that's a heavy book. So I shared all that with you tonight for this reason, and that is just to equip you, to bring about some understanding, to maybe get you away from some of those fiery things and all those opinions and all those arguments that people are trying to drag you into, and for you to be a peacemaker, to speak life and to speak peace in situations and to respond in humility. You might be so upset, but I'll tell you what, if you get real upset about things, that means probably there's something inside of you, and Jesus needs to heal that area. If you get all kinds of anger and things going on about stuff, because I tell you what a lot of anger does in that situation, shows who you're trusting. Anybody out there? It shows who you're trusting. When you get so angry about, oh, they're doing this, they're doing that, I can't believe it, you know, and it just stirs you up. Well, you're not trusting God. God puts every person in authority. He is the one that, the sun rising in the morning, good old sunshine. He's the one that does that every day. He holds you. He's a sovereign God. He's got you. Either you believe that or you don't. And God's wanting you to begin to walk in the hope that he has for you and the faith that he has for you. He wants you to walk in faith and to step into the season that he has for you. He wants you to understand truth and not get pulled aside by the enemy's tactics to take you off the mark. He wants you to rise on behalf of the kingdom of God. He is so much 100% for you. 100% for you, no matter what you've done. God is for you, and he loves you, and he loves me. And I think back of all the things that he's done, and I'm blown away by how many times he's showed up in my life. And here we are. We're just, what are we, about 50 people, 60 people in this room on a Tuesday night? And God wants to take this 60 people, and this isn't a preacher's thing. This is, God wants to take you guys into his arms, and he wants you to know how much he loves you, and he wants you to know that you can trust him and that you can do anything. Everything is possible in him, and that he will lead you through the place of humility and meekness, and if you walk in that, he'll lead you into that, and then all of a sudden the favor of God will be all over you. And people will say, well, what's, you know, how did this happen for him? How come it didn't happen for me? Well, in God's timing, in your humility, in your brokenness, in your meekness, it will happen for you, because that's God's word. And there's no sweeter place to be than in the will of the Lord. And you know that what you're doing is he's forming you, he's preparing you, and he's getting you ready. You know, every one of you. If this is it, you know, I'd kind of like to take a long nap, but I know that there is so much more coming. I know that the windup, the pitch is about ready to be thrown. And I know God is saying, I want to train you so that you can reign in the most evil time of the earth. And I want you to respond. And when you respond in light, when you respond in an opposite spirit, when you respond in humility, and the power of the Holy Spirit is living in you, and it is the one that's confirming who you are, now you begin to illuminate everywhere that you go because you carry Christ. And you think when all these people are like after each other and wanting to destroy each other and screaming at each other, who do you think the people are going to listen to? They're going to want to say, who's going to make some sense? Who's gonna walk in peace? Did not God call every one of you to be peacemakers? Every one of you. So when you begin to start speaking against something or stirring something up, that's not good. And God will bring conviction to you because he wants you to be a peacemaker. A peacemaker. I've short-circuited a couple times on all the stuff I've seen on Facebook. And I was like, oh, I'm done, man. I got to get off. I got to get away for a while. That's me. You don't have to. I'm not saying you have to. But I'm just saying for me, I had to pull away. I had to go back to that little cabin in Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming and go walk down that path and get on that rock by the waterfall. Does that make sense? Because that was my place. That's where I began to walk things out. And you have to have your place where God leads you and that you can get in that secret place and be with him. Michael, come on up if you're, where's Mike? There he is. Just come on up and we're gonna close. I want you guys to stand. Guys and gals. I want to encourage you to really listen to that message because it's an equipping message. I don't do that too often, but I really want you to listen to that message. I'm just gonna pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come and if you feel like you just need to let the Lord give some things to the Lord, you can do that tonight. I also feel like this has been shared too, that, you know, hope, when we have hope in the Lord and we have hope in him, it can really drive us into a beautiful place and we can celebrate what God has for us through Christ. And I just want to pray that hope would begin to arise in you today. If you need hope to arise, if you need to step out in faith tonight, and say, okay, I want to walk in where God has called me to walk. I want to take that step. I just want to pray for you. If you've been in church for a long, long time, and you want to make sure that you don't get caught up in all this junk that's going around in the church, and you want to walk in the kingdom, I want you to come forward. And I just want to pray. And I want everybody around us to pray. And Michael's going to lead us for a little bit. And I just pray that God would help us to become humble and that we would take hold of him and that we would, that in this night, that God would cause hope to arise in us again. Hope is going to give you passion. It's going to give you motivation. He loves you so, so, so much. If you need physical healing tonight, I want to pray. I want us to pray for you. What we've done tonight is we've just gathered in the name of Jesus. We've worshiped the King of Glory. And where two or more are gathered, he's in our midst. But here's the big deal. He's in you. God is, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to pray for more of release of more of God in you to just move you and cause your passion to begin to surge. Let's just all pray for a few minutes. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just, first and foremost, I ask for forgiveness for when my tongue said things and I had speech that was not of you, that was not edifying, that was not about peace. Lord, I ask that you would forgive me of that. I ask that my children and my wife would forgive me of that. And that you would help me to speak life in my home, first and foremost. And Lord, I ask that tonight, that the yoke of hope, the yoke of rest, that when you said, take my yoke, that this would be that night. That we would take your yoke and that we would know that we will find rest for our souls in you. Lord, I ask for those that are trying to make a decision right now to step out in faith. I ask, God, that you would give them the strength tonight to move in that place of faith, that you would help them, that you would strengthen them to make that step, that leap of faith tonight in you. So, Lord, just come. Holy Spirit, come. Stir the hearts of every man and woman, young and old, in this room, that we can become confident in the love of God, that we can trust you. Holy Spirit, rain down. You're in here. Just touch the hearts of men and women here. Holy Spirit that lives within, stir up in us the fire of God. Stir up in us. We say we want more of you, more of you. That hope would begin to arise in us. That the hope of Jesus, all that he's done for us, how much he loves us. Lord, set every man and woman in this place ablaze with your love. Let your love overwhelm them tonight. Yes, God. Let them know that your love is deliberate. Just come, Jesus, and have your way. Just sing over them for a minute, Michael, if you don't mind. Yes, God.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Yes, Jesus.
I give you my soul.
I give everything to you.
I live for
Forgive
you.
Forgive me. Come into my heart.
Everything that the moment I'm away.
Yes, God.
Lord, have your
That's the line right there. Lord, have your way with me.
Lord, I give you my
Have your way with us, Jesus.
I give you my soul.
Let our confidence be in you and you alone.
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take.
Yes, God.
Every moment I'm away. Lord, have your
God wants to awaken your heart. Let him awaken your heart tonight. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God. Bless you. Yes, God.
Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, have your way in me. I give you my
You need to accept Jesus tonight. Make sure that you do. Come forward and we'll pray with you to receive him as your Lord and Savior.
I give you my heart.
To forgive you.
I give you my soul.
You need to recommit your life to him tonight. That's why we're here. God, I ask that you would set every man and woman ablaze in this place. I ask, God, for dreams and visions to come, starting even tonight, God. For an increase in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God, increase your presence in their life. Awaken their hearts. We all in this room want more from you. We want more, as your word says. Ask the Father for more. We ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Pour your Spirit out on us, God. Strengthen us tonight. Speak to our hearts. We give you everything. Let's sing that. Something that happens when we all sing with one voice. We're not looking around, we're just singing our heart to him. Sing that with Michael.
I give you my my soul.
Just keep singing that. Make it a declaration tonight. Everything. I give you everything. Come on, with one voice. One voice, sing it out.
I gave you my heart. I gave you my soul.
Let's take it up one. This is all for you, Jesus. We proclaim this and decree this tonight.
Holiness is what you are.